Good morning. I have a question this morning that I'm wondering if you have heard before. The question goes a little bit like this. So, I don't want to be offensive or anything, but do you actually believe this stuff? Honestly, just between us, do you actually think this is true? Has anyone heard that kind of question before? Yeah, I see some hands. As a young, liberal, well-educated, tattooed woman, I hear this question a lot. Many of my peers who are not religious find it difficult to understand how I can be religious. It doesn't make sense that I can believe all of this biblical nonsense when I seem like such a thoughtful, rational person. Just this month, I saw an article floating around on Facebook entitled, "Religious Children Struggle to Separate Fact from Fiction." The actual title of the study referenced in the article was "Judgments About Fact and Fiction by Children from Religious and Non-Religious Households." It was conducted by the School of Education of Boston University and released last fall. In brief, this study took 5- and 6-year-old children from religious backgrounds, whether that meant they went to church or they grew up in parochial schools, and secular children from public schools, and introduced them to 3 categories of stories: realistic stories, biblical stories, and fantastic stories that included magic or mythical creatures. The study identified that children raised in religious contexts were more likely than their secular peers to say that biblical and fantastic stories could be true. What does that mean to you? That religious children struggle to separate fact from fiction? I remember, not being 5 or 6, but probably 9, the day I asked my father if biblical stories were true. And he said to me, "I need to know what you mean when you say true. Because truth is a pretty big idea. Truth is not necessarily about fact, nor is it limited to fact." When we seek truth in stories like today, stories like this that are referenced in this study by Boston University as stories that contribute to children's confusion about reality and pretend, we are looking for truth. So when we are asked questions like, "Do you really believe this stuff?" the subtext is usually, "You seem like you should be able to tell fact from fiction, but I'm confused. I'm not sure." So on the record, as a child of faith, I'm going to go ahead and say, I think maybe I do struggle with fact and fiction. I struggle with them as categories that limit and constrict the quest for truth. Because the truth of the gospel has never been limited to, nor should be constricted to, or confused with, modern frameworks like fact and fiction. These categories comfort us, but we may need to let them go to hear the word. And letting go of what we think we know and think we need is what today's gospel lesson is really all about. The fact of its impossibility is the very point of the story. There's a Buddhist meditation that I teach to clients sometimes to cope with anxiety. It goes like this. You imagine something of great value to you. It might be your ideal balance for your bank account. It might be the way you hope a difficult conversation will go with your partner tonight. It might be your good health. It might be the safety of your loved ones. It might be a very good thing. Imagine how we clench those things so tightly. The expectation, the hoped for outcome, the value, we hold it in our fist to keep it safe. In this meditation, we are called to slowly open our hand, to imagine holding this thing that is so important to you in a hand so open and so gentle that it could slip away. It's that moment right before it falls away from you. Feel that. Learn to grow comfortable with that hand open. When we start today's text, Jesus has just learned of the violent death of his cousin and man that he loved. Grieved and suffering, he gets on a boat and goes to a deserted place to get away from everyone and find solitude. What does he find instead? But thousands of people who have followed him from the town and wait for him on the shore. Yet do we read that he is angry, that he is resentful or exasperated? He would have every right to be. Poor Jesus could never get away. No, we read that he is moved with deep compassion. The Latin word for to suffer together with. Jesus is carrying grief and suffering and comes to a place seeking solitude and finding instead his own grief and suffering mirrored in thousands of people who need him. And he greets them in compassion and begins to heal their sick. Opens his hand, lets go of the plan, and what is possible but the miracle of healing? We understand the feeling of holding tight to our suffering. It's common and normal that our world gets very small when we are in pain. It becomes sometimes isolating, sometimes even paralyzing when we experience such deep grief. And here, before the real miracle even happens, we see the miracle of what is possible when we do something counterintuitive, and instead of close off, open up. So here we are in this deserted place. Evening is falling, and the disciples come and they say, "We have got to send these people away. They came for you, but they did not bring any food. They were not prepared. They need to go away and go get food." I love the disciples. But Jesus' heart and hands are already open, and he says to the disciples, "They do not need to go away. You need to give them something to eat." And the flabbergasted disciples, who did come prepared, as it turns out, they have loaves and fish, say, "All we have are 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus says, "Give them to me." The disciples have to open their hands, even though they're hungry too, and offer this food to the work of Jesus, to feed really not 5,000. We read 5,000 plus women and children, probably 10 to 12,000 people. Why is this miracle so moving that it is recorded in all 4 gospel narratives? There's probably not one answer. Some of us are awestruck by the unbelievable mass miracle of feeding so many people from so little. It's unfathomable. Others of us are moved by those who offered what little food they had, not knowing what would become of it, to see God's amazing work. Still others of us see the reflection of the Eucharist meal here in this story, where no one is sent away, no one is turned back to find their own food, but instead Jesus blesses and breaks the bread, and everyone receives and is fed. Precisely because we are able to come to this story with open hearts, precisely because we are willing to let go for a while of our modern ideas of fact and fiction, we see God's call to us to unclench our fist from that which we hold so tightly, so protectively, because God's plans are so unbelievable. We just need to trust to open our hands. As long as we keep our loaves and fish tucked away, they will never be more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. Unless we offer them up, no one is fed. As long as we cling to our unique suffering, we fail to see that suffering in the people around us, and healing is not possible because relationship is closed off. Is this story real? Do you really believe this stuff? I don't know. Can you feel the wounded heart of Christ as he seeks solitude and finds instead the need of the world, who meets them with compassion and heals? Or are you perhaps on a long journey seeking, unprepared, knowing only that you must follow this man, knowing not where the provisions of what you need will come from, but trusting? Are you the disciple who has the food in your bag that you hesitate to offer because you don't think there will be an investment return, just lost food? Who then trusts, maybe, Christ can work with this. I just have to open my hand. I'm going to invite you to actually participate in this meditation this morning before we close. If you are comfortable, go ahead and close your eyes. Let the Spirit guide you to something in your life which you know you cling to tightly with a closed fist, something you have been protecting by keeping yourself closed around it. Go ahead and physically clench your hand around that for a moment. How that feels. Safe. Then, trusting in the unknowable and expansive work of God, allow yourself to open your hand slowly until you are barely holding this thing that you value so greatly. Experience what that feels like. Holding your hand so loosely and so delicately, so open, so that this is accessible for God's work. Keeping your hand open, as you're ready, open your eyes and look at your hand. These open hands are not only prepared to offer up, but to receive. It is in open hands that Christ is able to bring grace and you are able to experience it. You are open. You are ready for the impossible and unrealistic to be true. This story offers us a challenge to trust the counterintuitive, to resist our inclinations to grasp tightly, and to heed the nerve-wracking gospel message that true abundance and true healing are possible only through our openness and are possible only through our vulnerability to let go of what we think we know and think we need. And then our hands are open and we receive that Eucharist meal that feeds everyone to satisfaction. Will you bow your heads with me in prayer? God of provision, God of love, we thank you for being in this space with us here today. We thank you for your open heart and Christ's open hands that show us that the impossible might be more real than we think. Be with us in our journeys as we proceed forward from this place, keeping us in the everlasting arms of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.